Hello, friends. Welcome back to Destructo Discourse. This is a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Tyler, and joining me for the discourse on this episode is Dave.
Hello.
Matt.
I'm going to tear my ears off.
Aaron.
What? I don't have ears.
Jason.
I already tore my ears off yesterday.
And Melissa.
I ate all the beans.
Nobody ever tells me we're going to do gimmicks.
Nobody tells me either.
They're not
planned.
They
just kind of grow.
Yeah, they just make it up as they go, and unfortunately you're always first, so you're not informed.
You're the seed from which the gimmick sprouts.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair.
So this week on the show, since we have concluded hit anime Dragon Ball Z, it's time to start talking about these movies.
Movie club.
Grab
movie
your
club.
Popcorn.
Get your popcorn get out. Get your get wacky space pills.
Yeah. Just crunch on those bad boys.
Go to town.
Chew them like a Tic Tac.
Whatever movie super, treats you like.
Get your super crisp ADR whistling ready.
Yeah.
Do not whistle during the movie.
No, please.
It's very
Do
rude.
Get a winter coat, because it's chilly in movie theaters.
It is.
That's true.
They mm-hmm. crank that AC. Mm-hmm. Remember movie theaters?
Well,
I don't want to talk about it. let's move on.
This podcast now available on home streaming.
Lord.
You wouldn't steal a podcast, would you?
We are here to discuss the hit film, Lord Slug. I don't know how much of a hit film it is.
Yeah. We can ask what's the box office on that.
I don't know that this one was wildly popular.
We're here to discuss film, Lord Slug.
I've met some people who will stand some really obscure characters, but I've never met a Lord Slug fanboy.
Yeah, who's the ride or die Lord Slug? If you're in the comments, like, let us know.
Yeah, you
know,
maybe that... we can change that with this podcast.
I know enough about the internet to know that person is out there. There is somebody out there who ships Lord Slug with some other incredibly obscure character and has spent the last decade and a half convincing themselves that they are being personally persecuted because there isn't enough Lord Slug and that character in, like, the actual
anime. I know exactly.
Have you been reading my fanfiction between with. Lord Slug and Salza?
Yeah, that's, I'm sure it exists. It's out there somewhere.
That person knows the names of the Universe 6 Namekians, I bet.
That person knows the names of Lord Slug's minions, which I did not.
I
had
know
to
the
look
name
up.
Of Lord Slug's minions.
Yeah, me too.
I know one of their names.
I watched the movie yesterday, and I don't know the names.
No, I know their names. Their names are not Dodoria, not Zarvon, and not Goldo. Uh-huh.
That's right.
I just remember Weird Little Frog Boy.
Oh, I love Frog Boy.
Frog Boy's very strong.
Metamacha is his name.
I've got lore. I've got Japanese lore.
Oh, oh man.
I can't wait.
To it.
Oh man.
Well, let's really get into it then.
Yeah, let's just dive right in.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Of course the movie begins with waves and rocks.
Waves and rocks.
And it starts instantly with Piccolo right where he was at the end of the last movie.
Waterfalls yeah. and rocks.
Yep.
Poor Piccolo, minding his own fucking business.
Piccolo is so into this zen right now. He's just like,
just says he can get
that
lost
waterfall.
In the sound for hours.
Damn, love that sound.
Oh. What a nice meditation I'm having right now. Sure
it's
don't
so
want to jinx
quiet
it.
Quiet, relaxing.
Hope no intrusive sounds arrive.
I don't know a lot about, like, zen or meditation or any of that stuff, but is it a good meditation if you're thinking to yourself, man, what a good meditation I'm having right now.
This is going really well.
I think that's
that's
best.
Probably the best meditation.
Yeah, it's the best meditation. Yeah.
All right, I'll take it.
Yeah, if you are looking down at yourself meditating and, like, clapping, it's probably going pretty well.
Woo! Go
damn,
me.
Dude, keep it up.
Yeah! Zen, 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 zen!
I feel great.
Talk about a Zen Kai boost.
I feel chill. I feel Zen. I can do this. Y'all, we're back.
We are.
I missed y'all.
Piccolo brought us back.
Gohan and Icarus show up to mess up the meditation.
Mm-hmm. Icarus has fashion.
Yeah. Hey, Piccolo, check this shit out.
And Gohan taught him to do the cabbage patch.
They've been watching some TikTok videos.
It seems that way.
They tried to do TikTok dances.
Gohan has taught Icarus a very cool trick. The dragon will dance while Gohan whistles in a recording booth.
We get a lovely song. It sounds like a ringtone, honestly.
Beautiful whistling.
I'm sure that file exists on the 1997 internet.
Oh, it's on some site that is linked to on Tableau Trunks.
Gohan can also whistle in drum and rhythm guitar.
That's
a good whistler.
All while talented. Shaking his booty.
Boy, he really gets into it too.
These dances are really well animated.
This goes on for a
very, all of them.
This goes on for a very long time.
Right? Like, bless Piccolo for his patience.
Speaking of, he's not having a good time with this.
No, he's not.
He really hates it.
Yeah.
A fan of neither the whistling nor the booty shaking.
He starts losing his shit, and I did not understand what was happening.
Yeah, what did any of you guys think was happening?
I thought, this is honest to God where my brain went. I thought that it was like that scene from Chicken Run, where Bunty gets infected by the rock and roll beat and can't stop from tapping her foot. And I thought that Piccolo thought that the beat was so catchy that he was going to start dancing. And he didn't want to because that would ruin his cool image.
He would lose face.
That is actually what I thought was happening.
I was cursed with future knowledge.
Nah, you've seen this film. Or know of it.
Enlightenment destroys. Yeah.
I have the same problem.
I had no idea. I thought, like, the only explanation I could think of was, like, he's secretly lifting a pyramid and that we haven't seen, and Gohan's gonna break his concentration, but I didn't have faith that that's what was happening.
I just figured he hated music.
That's fair. That was what they wanted you to think.
It is especially fun now that you have all seen the entirety of the series, because this is a feature that never comes up again and was never mentioned before.
Yeah.
Nope. Never once.
Just tossed in for this fun little movie.
Mm-hmm. Among other things.
Those ears aren't just to frame his face.
Suddenly, they sense something approaching from deep space.
Piccolo was about to explain why he was so upset.
He turns around dramatically, and his cloak takes a very long time to swish all the way past the camera.
It's a very good swish.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I am here for the swish.
That's what he was meditating on.
This is a movie-quality swish.
Mm-hmm. Beef that up with some extra frames.
Dr. Briefs is in his situation room discussing plans to defend the Earth.
With his cohort.
Mm-hmm.
Scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. MVP.
They are observing the approaching object, which appears to have a collision course with the Earth. And
oh no!
Bulma wants to blow it up, but it's inhabited, and that's a problem.
Oh no!
I don't know why Dr. Briefs cares about that, but okay, I guess.
It's a problem for them. I mean, not...
And we cut to a scene which is something that I absolutely believe the media would do in this situation, which is a simulated rendering of what was about to happen to the planet.
And you'll notice here on the screen, Earth eating total shit.
And that's going to happen in a couple hours, so
this is
bye,
why,
everyone.
Bye, y'all.
This is why Nappa doesn't like them.
I get it. He's inciting a panic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Krillin was just looking for sports.
Yeah.
He didn't hear that they all got canceled.
What kind of sports do you think Krillin likes?
Golf.
Ooh.
He seems like a golf kind of guy.
I think he's being supportive and looking for the baseball channel to watch Yamcha.
He's here to remember the Titans.
What sport does Yamcha do again? I'll just check all of them.
I'll just flip around till I see him.
Hyalai, interesting.
He also laments that he's still never had a girlfriend.
It's what we call consistent characterization, folks. It's a virtue in writing.
It doesn't matter what timeline we're in, Krillin will not have a girlfriend.
Nope.
And it doesn't play a part in the plot at all, but...
Marin hasn't entered our lives yet.
It's his motivation for saving Earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And that really puts us down on where we are at on the timeline, because this has to be pre-androids, because he doesn't even have a girlfriend.
Haven't even lived.
Where is this on the timeline, if anywhere?
Jason, it ain't.
It ain't.
It ain't.
Yeah.
Because Gohan's got some really confusing fashion. He's clearly, like, 8-year-old Gohan, but he's in his, like, little prince hostage outfit from the very beginning of...
Yeah, man, it's Throwback Thursday to when Dragon he was
Ball.
4.
He's got that Throwback Thursday with his Dragon Ball hat and a baby bowl cut from Namek. He's got... Mm-hmm. He's pulling from all over.
Yeah, when did this come out in terms of, like what was airing on the show when this came out?
The week that this came out, the anime aired the episode where Frieza transforms for the last time and Vegeta eats total shit so that Dende will heal him.
Okay.
So they were squarely on Namek.
Okay. Because they do in the... I don't think they do in the English version, but in the Japanese version, there is a mention of Frieza.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Oh. Huh.
In passing.
Again, I'm still down with Matt's like universe B theory that the movies are all connected to some weird parallel thing that is still affected by things that happen on universe A, but not in the same way.
It's the Darkoverse.
Sure. Okay.
Goku and Krillin fly up to try and divert the object's trajectory
to just straight up exterminatus everyone on that planet's way.
Well, they say they're trying not to.
They don't want to do that, but they will if it comes to that. Mm-hmm. They fire Kamehamehas at it, and it has absolutely no effect.
Looks cool, though.
The world begins to fall apart as the object bounces off of the Earth's atmosphere. And then we get a goddamn title card.
We get the coolest title card in the whole show.
Ancient mural on a stone tablet.
Ancient cave paintings.
Kind of a spoiler.
Yeah, I don't know what is going on.
It doesn't really pay off in my eyes.
Yeah.
No, it just looks rad. That's all that matters.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Yeah,
it
does look cool. That's all they wanted for it.
It actually, honestly, the closest thing it reminds me of is the opening, the title card to Nausicaa.
Thank you, yes. Like an old Ghibli title card, or like a Castle in the Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The object just barely misses and flies off into space to explode.
And the day was saved. Roll credits.
It's over.
Happened?
It's over.
It didn't blow up. It didn't burn up in atmosphere at all. It just made like a lot of wind.
Yeah,
and, a lot of
and
wind.
Some tides happened because this thing is bigger than a moon.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like, and then it explodes for no apparent reason. I'm so confused.
I was wondering why.
And it
why.
Also drops. It drops something.
Yeah, an enormous megastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of a. Some might
it's
say.
Just crash landed onto ship. The Earth.
It's in a weird disc shape that we haven't seen before.
Some henchmen emerge to greet the Earthlings that are hanging out around it.
And I'm sure, I'm sure that this famous movie will do its damnedest to explain everything, like why that thing was there on that planet, why mm-hmm. it was hurtling towards Earth. Mm-hmm. There will be no questions left unanswered. I'm sure.
Yep. Exactly.
It'll all be intricately tied together, mm-hmm. like a tapestry of plot and lore.
I believe.
The henchmen claim that the planet is now the possession of somebody named Lord Slug.
It's just...
Wow.
Aside from
a lame name.
Yeah, aside from everything else, it's just not a very good name. Maybe it sounds very intimidating wherever he comes from.
Sure.
You really gotta consider that.
Right.
The Earthlings do not take this seriously at all.
Which is surprising, because their last encounter with aliens went poorly.
It sure did, and
very
typically
bad.
Continues to.
Yeah.
In the future.
I also did note, in the intervening, while the planet was not hitting Earth, but the ship was, and whatever happened in that, in the midst of all the tidal waves and the breaking of everything... I assume a lot of people died.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so surely, as Dragon Ball tends to do, that at the end of the story they shall collect the Dragon Balls to wish everyone back to life
mm-hmm.
who died in this event.
Why wouldn't they?
I just assume that would happen.
The only thoughtful thing to do, really.
Yeah.
Anyway, we see Lord Slug along with all of his minions in his spaceship bridge. And their names are Commander Zeon, Angela, Metamacha, Kakuja, and Gyoshu,
mm-hmm.
who are twins. And my favorite, Wings.
Wings.
So, God. Metamacha is an adorable bug-eyed gremlin who instantly fell in love with.
It's a very good-looking mini-boss squad here.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing Wings is Orange Dodoria. Yeah.
Orange Dodoria with wings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The angel one, is that the less hot Zarbon?
Not Zarbon.
Yeah.
Ziyun is like the buff guy straight up wearing a fetish harness.
Right. That's who you ship Lord Slug with. He's got a little matching harness on the outside of his robes.
There you go.
That's what Ziyun's there for.
Gyoshu and Kakuja are the two little gremlins in cloaks. Mm-hmm. And it's time for name puns. Get ready.
Please.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was about to ask.
We got it. So, Ziyun is supposed to be Seiyun, which is galaxy. Gyoshu and Kakuja are like a flippy round of Kyoju and Gakusha, which is teacher and scholar.
Hmm.
Okay. And Wings' Japanese name is Dorodabo. So if you take the first bit of each of their names, Angela, Dorodabo, and Medamacha, we get Andoromeda, Andromeda.
Okay, but that actually rules.
Boy.
That rules.
That's completely dope.
Way more clever than this movie deserves, honestly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That is the kind of shit I would pull as a DM.
Yes.
You know, I'm still fine with him being called Wings.
Yeah. No, Wings is way better. Wings!
Slug immediately kills Zeyun for making a mistake of mentioning Lord Slug's age and mortality.
It was a good-looking mini-boss squad for about a minute.
Yep. His name
Their
is
relationship
Lord...
had been on the rocks for a while.
Exactly. Yeah. Lord, don't call me old Slug.
Yeah, just like a middle-aged lady, you never ask a Namekian their age.
Slug also kills Gyoshu when Gyoshu breaks the news that terra freezing the planet would take upwards of 10 days.
That doing what to the planet?
Terra freezing.
Yeah. Terra freezing. You know. That's
Oh,
that's
the way you're
thing.
Saying it makes more sense. Terra freezing. I heard it as terror freezing.
Oh no, that's way better.
Which sounds really cool.
It does sound very cool.
I mean, they do that too.
And hella dire.
Yeah.
Very.
He makes Kakuja the officer in charge of the terra freezing when Kakuja promises to get it done in 3 days. And then he just chows down on space pills.
So on his space chair, he's got like a goblet to his left. Like he's got a big bowl full of M&Ms for the big game.
Yeah, it's like a bowl full of Halloween candy.
It's just full of like yellow capsules. He's just munching down on just, big handfuls of Zanny.
Yeah, he's just shoving them in his mouth like the dude from that new Nightwish music video. where what makes it is that some of them like fall away. Like he doesn't actually care about getting the right number of pills into his mouth. It's just
no, it's
it's his neck.
Yeah,
I'm these fucking yellow birdie bots every flavor beans over here.
Got all his vitamins.
His like space vitamins.
I hope it's not his fucking pill caddy for the day. That's nuts.
Oh no,
that's poorly organized.
He's gotta empty that entire bowl before the day's done.
Don't even worry about timing anymore, sir. Just get them all down.
Just do your best to get it done.
Nobody bother me. I'm taking my thrice a day for men.
The henchmen outside begin to open fire on the Earthlings, and Gohan ain't having that, so he charges to the rescue.
Yeah, Gohan.
Dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, then he murders a guy.
He does.
Yeah.
He cracks his helmet open.
We should also appreciate that every single one of these mooks have xenomorph heads.
Yeah,
they do. Helmets. Bless them.
Mm-hmm.
Toriyama just loves that.
It's a sleek design.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Aerodynamic.
And spooky.
I also love how many of these movies have actual mooks to fight. It almost never happens.
Well, once you gotta again, give the other guy something to do.
This guy is doing another DM move that I have, which is just flood the encounter with minions and let God sort them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one movie, done minions.
This movie does do something that I did really appreciate that hasn't been really touched on in the series before, in that the aliens can't handle the Earth's atmosphere, yeah. like specifically the sun.
Yeah. They're the one mm-hmm. race unlucky enough to come here.
Yeah.
Yep. Every other one is fine.
Made me think of the pilot of Justice League.
Right, yeah.
Slug and his servants watch Gohan on hologram, and Slug recognizes the ball on Gohan's hat.
Uh-oh.
How does he know about those?
Maybe he just likes it because it's shiny.
Maybe he heard about it over a fucking radio like Vegeta and Raditz did by accident.
Maybe he heard it over the same radio.
Just hacked into the Frieza Force comms.
There's always a Namekian somewhere ready to fucking spill the beans.
Mm-hmm. Or the pills.
Meanwhile, Chi-Chi is also charging into battle with her son.
Yeah,
yeah.
Chi-Chi was so cool for half a second.
I know. Yeah.
She takes out two dudes.
She gets her one cool kick in.
Two space
and that's
dudes.
It.
Mm-hmm. And then she gets punched in the gut.
The hubris gets the best of her.
Gohan drops his hat while he is saving his mom, and Lord Slug comes out to steal the Dragon Ball from it.
He has to unscrew it, which I appreciate.
It looks like he's like ripping off the Velcro that it's attached to.
Yeah. He tries to unscrew it, tugs on it a little bit.
It's a nice head. He doesn't want to ruin the head, just wants wants the Dragon Ball.
Bulma gets up to give Lord Slug a piece of her mind while carefully hiding behind a whole pig.
Yeah. I deeply respect Bulma for this moment.
Right. Fucking just ham
holding
shield.
Up Ulan as a shield, yeah.
She did nothing wrong here.
In the Japanese version of this, it is more clear that she is not just using him as a shield, but as a puppet. Because Oolong has the line, "That wasn't me saying that."
What? That's so good. Bulma.
What a clever ruse.
She's so smart.
My fucking queen. I love her.
Take no shit.
I have several questions.
Bulma lets slip about the dragon radar, and Bulma. Lord Slug telekinesis her over to read her brain. For more details.
Oh no.
Let me read your mind with my vacuum hands.
Right.
Yeah.
Then he steals the dragon radar from her and he commands his minions to hunt down the remaining balls in an hour.
Alright.
And that's the rest of the movie.
Thank you, Karis.
And now we're off to the ball finding montage. Before we get to that though, I do want to give a shout out to Metamacha, who puts Gohan's hat back on.
Right.
Yeah.
Before just gently tipping him over with one finger.
Oh, such a good gremlin.
I love
this frog man.
He's so good.
I'm evil, but I'm not rude.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe I'm a little rude.
I also appreciate...
Just enough to be fun.
I also appreciate all the minions sharing the dragon radar. None of them went and got the balls together.
Yeah,
a different person got the ball, but they all had the dragon radar.
I mean, they had time to kill.
They all know they have to have like put something on their productivity sheet.
All right, I got the 6-star. Now it's your turn.
Lord Slug summons forth Shenron for a wish, and he wishes for eternal youth.
Eternal youth, baby.
And is not interrupted. It all goes smoothly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He de-ages before our eyes.
His skin changes color a lot of times as he gets younger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like maybe more times than it should.
It goes like, he started out as like a dark green and it and
like
it
an
becomes,
olive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He becomes a dark green again, but he takes a detour through brown for a bit.
Yeah.
Kind of a beige.
Like a reverse avocado.
Deeply, deeply upsetting to think about.
You're welcome.
They fire their terra-freezing satellite into the atmosphere to begin converting the Earth into a space cruiser.
Oh no, I guess that's what they're doing.
I
guess that's their plan.
Don't space cruisers usually have engines?
Yeah.
It'll be like Starkiller Base. It's fine.
They're highly technologically skilled.
Yeah,
they figured it out.
Who needs an engine when you can just hurdle a planet into another planet?
Just
until it hits another thing, and then you use that thing.
Yeah.
It's like billiard balls.
Look, he's been at this for a while. He's got it solved.
Yeah, you know, what business is it of ours to criticize his planetary conquest methods?
The troops begin to remove their helmets now that the atmosphere can sustain them. And we get my favorite line of the film, which is Angela saying, "They're like children. Give them some air to breathe and they're happy."
Oh, so now we want air now. Oh, now we're hungry.
I am begging you to read more baby books, please. There is so much more to it than that.
No. Air was just chapter one.
God, are you breathing right now? You're such a child.
Do not, my friends, become addicted to oxygen. Jesus Christ.
The Earth, however, is rapidly becoming uninhabitable for the creatures that used to live on it. A deer falls over, for instance.
These films can never show you how much the Earth is getting fucked up unless there's a shot of one deer dropping dead in the middle of a burnt out, deserted forest.
I like to imagine it's the same deer every time.
Yeah.
that poor deer-mometer for the planet Earth.
It's the Earth's avatar.
Another similarity to Ghibli.
Goku wakes up to Yajirobe handing out Zenzu beans.
I miss this guy.
Oh, cool. Hey, it's the bean boy.
It's been so long since I've seen this guy.
He's got a fun scarf and a coat because he needs to stay toasty.
It's frozen down here in the tropics.
Yeah.
There ain't no sun.
Yajirobe has a good nickname for Krillin in the Japanese version.
Oh?
Go on.
He calls him Pachinko Head.
Wow.
That is a really good alternative to Q-Ball. I like that.
I think that says more about Yajirobe than it does Krillin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You remind me of my gambling habit. Anyway, here's a bean, you cry baby.
Crunchy bean.
People, they're wanting beans, they're wanting air.
Yeah, I like that he refuses to give Krillin a bean at first.
Kids these days are so greedy. They're so entitled.
I mean, to be fair, Krillin didn't look like he really needed it.
No, he was just kind of resting.
Bro, you're at 80% health, and you're not even going to fight the boss anyway.
At the San family house, Chi-Chi and Bulma are trying to stay warm with a heater and blankets and some nice soup.
Aww.
And Chi-Chi goes to check on Gohan in his room, and he has a poster of Arale.
Mm-hmm. Does. Also
sure
the,
does.
The yeah. mug that the soup is in is scratch on it.
Uh-oh.
It's got a little cat.
Apparently, though, Gohan has snuck out with Oolong and Icarus.
That little shit.
Which we know because he changed out of his being a good boy clothes into his troublemaker
into being
clothes.
A bad teen.
Into those punker clothes.
I was just about to say.
Okay, then.
Yeah, didn't she say something like, "I knew he was gonna do this"?
I feel like this movie always like pairs up Gohan with Oolong for the shenanigans squad. There are multiple movies that just have Gohan and Oolong.
I don't know
shit.
Why.
Yeah.
I don't know where this comes from.
Of all the people to bring on shenanigans,
yeah,
I'm saddened that we miss the conversation of Gohan having to convince Oolong to sneak out to the to the villain base.
It's especially weird because as soon as we see them again, Oolong's like, "I'm going home," and Gohan's like, "Yeah, fine, whatever."
I don't even know why you followed me.
Why did you bring him?
He just needed a ride.
They get surrounded by Slug's troopers, and Oolong immediately plays dead.
Yep,
smart.
Correct decision.
It works.
Yeah, a tactic pigs in the wild are known to do. See those Bahamian fainting pigs.
He used his famous shape-shifting ability to turn into a dead person.
My corpse transformation jutsu.
Gohan does his best to hold off all of the troopers, but eventually he is shot out of the sky.
Aww.
And of course, he is rescued by Piccolo.
By Big Green.
Piccolo!
Who appears...
Very dramatic entrance.
Yes, he appears in an incredible scene. Fighting the Mooks
in front of
the spotlight, yeah. cloak billowing.
He appears in front of the spotlight, which he then proceeds to hurl a motherfucker into.
One thing these movies well, are he was really done good with it. For is a good Piccolo entrance. Mm-hmm.
So now it's time for the stronger boys to show their stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mini bosses.
No more of the mooks. Goku and Krillin are rushing to help out while Wings begins to square off with Piccolo, and Metamacha takes on Gohan.
Metamacha, do you think Gohan has met his matcha?
No. Nope.
Okay.
I don't.
That's fair. I'm looking at the judges. Two of them are shaking their head, and the third one's loading a gun. I
should
go.
Yeah, that one is me. That's me on the, okay. on the camera.
That's a mirror reflecting Dave.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate the 20-minute head start, as always.
I don't know. I might be able to get the...
I mean, it's regulation.
Yeah, I'd be able to get the committee to bring it down to 15 for this one.
So. During their fight, Piccolo is more or less... he crushes Wing's hand.
Yeah.
He does do that.
And then he breaks his arm.
He does that CBZ arm break we always see where you grab the one hand and then you bring your elbow up and like, a cow!
It's nice to see Piccolo get the style on someone for once.
Like, Cell Jr. does that. I feel like a Cyberman probably does that at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Things do not go well for Wings. No. During this
Piccolo
exchange.
Fucking Poor does Wings. Him execution style. Like, holy
oh,
shit,
yeah.
man.
And then
oh,
he's
yeah.
supposed to weasel out of it like, oh, it's not a... Time out. I didn't know you were that strong. Not fair.
No.
Wait, you didn't tell me you were going to win.
Hang on, you're not allowed to win.
It's cheating.
Bro, this isn't in the script. What are you doing, dude?
Oh, no.
Gohan does not fare as well against Metamacha, who is just wildly flinging ki blasts at him.
His arms are just full noodles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem.
Yeah. He does the dreaded windmill punch technique, except with ki blasts.
Uh-huh.
It's your own fault if you get hit.
He also makes terrible little children from his body.
Yeah, that's yeah, round
that
two.
Happens.
That's yeah. how I would describe him, yes.
I think they're called matchas, because he's Metamacha, and then the little ones are just his little matchas.
Well, his little matchas latch onto Gohan's face and begin to absorb his energy.
Terrible little frog children.
Really very
I love them.
I've heard of a face hugger, but this is ridiculous.
Oh, it's a living.
Wings tries and utterly fails to ambush Piccolo.
Oh, this shot is so good. Because he gets blown off, and then he, like, stands up and just, like, pop, 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 walks into the store.
It is a scamper.
And chuckles to himself.
This is a great spot for an ambush.
No one would dare to look for me inside the Macy's.
The only thing that could have made it better would have been if Piccolo had walked down the stairs behind him instead of... busting through the ceiling, but it was still very good.
Just tapped on his shoulder
and said, "Nice day."
Wings tries to convince Piccolo to join Slug's team while he's still got the chance. Piccolo instead blows up his whole face.
Yeah,
this is a Vegeta move. Yeah,
but it's also like weirdly intimate because like his it's like. So Wings is holding out his hand like, oh, let's join forces and work together with Lord Slug. It'll be for the best because he's way strong. And Piccolo like tenderly brings his hand up to Wings, and it's like, oh, just kidding. I'm gonna move my hand up your forearm and it's in your face. Boom.
Yeah, it's brutal. Brutalism.
I don't think I got this in the English version. In the Japanese version, he says that Piccolo is a fellow demon clansman, which is what they call themselves, which I don't know if that's supposed to be foreshadowing. Because we haven't had the Slug reveal yet.
Right.
Yeah.
I suppose so.
That's weird.
Yeah. That is weird.
No, yeah, I wouldn't call it foreshadowing. That's just revealing the twist.
Yeah.
But I mean, because they're not.
We assume.
Well... we'll get into it, I guess.
Uh-oh.
I didn't plan to, but now we can bring it up.
Uh-oh.
But first, Piccolo is always getting grabbed by dudes hanging out underground.
I was so angry.
Always falls for
not this again.
He's always fallen for the dude hanging out underground trick.
Vegeta would never fall for this.
He would never.
He then has to rush to take a blast for Gohan, and then
he does that again too.
Yep,
it's just one of those days for Piccolo.
All of Piccolo's greatest hits.
It literally says in my notes, just in all caps, "Did he do it again?" And then he did it again.
Metamacha and Angela team up to blast him, but before they could kill Piccolo and Gohan, Krillin and Goku arrive.
Oh, yeah! Woo!
They one punch idiots.
Yeah.
Gohan and Goku have a very strange exchange, I thought.
Oh my god, I screamed at Goku.
When you thought it was weird?
In the English,
yeah,
at least. He just walks up to the corpse of his son,
right?
And says, "Gohan?" And Gohan wakes up and says, "I love you, Dad."
And Goku says, "I know."
Yep, you sure do. You're a big
man,
boy.
Goku saw Star Wars.
Did you just watch Star Wars and, like, misunderstand?
I bet the writers probably just watched Star Wars.
This is where I put in my notes, Goku, hug your damn son.
Well, again, yeah. And it's immediately after, you know, Goku shows up and pulls this shit. Immediately after Gohan's real dad just gives up his life for him again. It's no contest.
I think when they were writing this scene, they were like, well, we don't want to make it too similar to the Ginyu Force fight.
I'm pretty sure it's the same pose that Gohan's in.
Yeah.
Yep.
The art looked very similar to me.
And if they didn't want it to be too similar, then they probably should have gotten a different voice actor for Lord Slug.
Oh, God.
I wondered if that was the same.
That's Ginyu.
Yeah.
I do like that voice, though.
Very good.
I actually didn't realize that. That's
voice.
Awesome.
Wings was Mr. Satan, and that was fucking me up the whole time.
Oh, really?
Oh, God, I didn't know that. Oh,
I
my God.
I felt that energy. Especially with the excuse making. Like, this feels like Mr. Satan a little.
In this timeline, Mr. Satan's an alien.
Whoa.
So now it is time for Goku to have a stand-in Jason Birder fight with the two remaining minions.
Yeah.
Angela stretches his arms underground to pin Goku in place, which seemed to me like a lot of extra effort.
Yeah.
To just have his arms travel through the ground.
Yeah, why not just be...
Why not just grab him?
All right.
Metabacha releases his shitty little kids again.
Goku, says, my babies are gonna love you.
Goku deserves a lot of credit, I think, for being so stoic while a tiny slug man literally grabs onto his face.
Just looking dead ahead.
Like, that's another way that this is a repeat of the Jason Birder fight, where the two of them are just, like, zipping past his face at Mach 2, and he doesn't even he doesn't even move a pixel. But now there's just a tiny slug man just sitting on his actual real face, and he doesn't even react.
For all of the shit that I have given Goku, I have to admit I would not be as composed in this situation.
No.
This specifically,
I think
most
rational people would react differently.
Metamacha prepares to bite Goku's dang head off when he receives a punch directly to the guts.
This was cool. Goku just punches right up. He can't even see. He's
just guessing. Angela tries to fire a mouth beam at Goku, but Goku just deflects it back into his mouth.
You chop that right up.
How did I, after accepting Deborah into my heart, this is Angela, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Obviously.
Deborah, Angela, and Wings.
What a squad.
Lord Slug emerges, none too pleased with his men, and decides to get the job done himself. First, he offers Goku and Krillin a job.
Some wild
this is the best.
Here.
This is the best
they
line
came to
the in
wrong
the whole
entrance,
episode,
though.
It is my second favorite line of the film.
Yeah, yeah.
From Goku, which is no thanks. We're both self-employed.
Somehow
an incredibly lame line that somehow came out sounding badass. I'm not quite sure how they managed that.
Goku, you don't know what a job is.
That's also true.
You canonically do not have a job.
I absolutely pity the CPA who has to handle Goku LLC.
Oh, God.
It's like he wants to consider himself self-employed. Like, he wants to be a DBA for, like, his instructional martial arts videos, but no one's buying them.
You know damn well that man doesn't pay taxes.
No way.
He thinks taxes Absolutely. Are a kind of lunch.
Not again.
Is that a candy?
I'm not giving the government my candy. They can go get their own fish.
It's going down
I don't
a dangerous
have any
road.
Money, I just have fish.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in Dr. Brief's world, but they don't pay taxes in kind, so it's not a problem.
Krillin rushes in for a bit of comedic relief, and then exits stage backwards. Thank you, Krillin, for being in this movie. It was
Let's
good to see you.
Again.
He just wanted a quick and timely exit out of this conflict, so he's going to rush head on and get Team Rocketed into the stratosphere so he doesn't have to deal with this horseshit. Bye, have, Goku!
Yeah, he does have a good line where he's just blasting off, shouting, "He's all yours, Goku!
You got him!"
I loosened him up!
Yeah, Krillin is the faucet, of the stream of hot water from the tap, loosening the jar lid for Goku.
I mean, yeah, metaphysically, I think that's what Krillin is.
Yeah.
That's his role.
Just look at the Frieza fight.
So the fighting begins. Punching occurs.
Yeah.
It appears that even Goku is no match for this Lord Slug in his prime.
He feels great. He's alive. He's awake.
He can do this.
He can do this.
Everyone is barely hanging on in the intense cold of the planet Earth.
It's probably another deer collapsing somewhere.
There's a couple birds falling over now.
Yeah.
they're fine until they land on the ice. And then they
drop that was dead. Their fatal mistake.
Right. They land directly on the bird killing ice.
That's the worst kind of ice.
Lord Slug is feeling real good in his hot new bod, though.
Mm-hmm.
The cold never bothered him anyway.
It just tightens his pores.
He proceeds to thrash Goku down Main Street.
Down Iguana Street.
Iguana Street, thank you.
They do a little window shopping.
Yeah, even
he punches Goku out of his shirt.
There you go!
Oh man, Goku's at half health now.
Slug even says nothing like a little window shopping. There's so much banter in this movie.
There are some good-ass one-liners.
That's what I like about the movies. They don't have interesting plots, but they've definitely got good banter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that is true.
Goku wants to try a spirit bomb, but King Kai tells him nobody's got energy for him.
Because we're all dead and cold.
Thankfully, though, Goku is saved when his pupils go away.
Oh no!
They were holding him back.
He gets a mighty fibers. Blast of rage.
He thinks about the people he loves, like Oolong. And I forget all the other people he says before a long pause, and then he remembers his son.
Oolong, the taco truck guy.
Goku.
Oh yeah, go on.
Lord Slug? No, not him.
I'm trying to be him.
Not yet, at least.
Knock, knock, who's there? Krillin. No, wait.
He's not my friend yet.
I already have a big green. I don't need this one.
He undergoes some kind of a transformation where his hair is standing up. Mm-hmm.
He is enveloped in a golden glow, and his hair stands on end.
He's got
with
no
a red
pupils.
Tint.
Ah, interesting.
It's like Kaioken, but yellower and cooler.
He's like some kind of a superb Saiyan.
Like an even better Saiyan.
Well, that's not a thing.
No.
You know what's the most wild thing about this? Is I know they're going for like a precursor to Super Saiyan, but it's actually got all the signs of the precursor to Ultra Instinct.
Huh. Oh shit.
I see.
Before that was even a thing.
Right.
Before. Like a decade and a half before it was a thing, right?
Yeah.
With this power up, he is finally able to start pushing Lord Slug back.
The animation
There's a lot
is,
of hand breaking in
yeah,
this
Yeah, the animation is very weird where like Goku breaks his wrist and then when Slug recoils, some of that yellow aura like sticks
to
him.
The aura is still there.
It's very weird.
Yeah, it's like he's... Well, and what's cool about this, too, is it's not just like, wind and rocks are blowing because of how powerful he is. He's, like, shorting out all of the neon signs.
Yeah.
It's like, he's got his own
That's
magnetic
neat.
Field now.
Yeah, I love that kind of thing.
King Kai thinks that Goku has become the legendary Super Saiyan.
Why does King Kai what? Not know?
It's just another lie from King Kai.
It's because Vegeta's not there to get it wrong this time.
Somebody's got to get it
someone
wrong.
Someone had to do it.
Oh my god. Lord Slug tears off his broken arm and regrows it, revealing himself to be a Namekian. Was anybody surprised?
No!
No.
I wasn't 100% sure, but I wasn't surprised either.
Well, it said he was a Namekian in the episode description.
Oh really? I actually didn't see that.
Amazing!
Perfect.
You fucked up, Funimation now.
Well, I mean, they usually give the spoiler in the episode title, so... Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, you're right. That reminds me. We'd never talked about the Japanese title for Lord Slug, roughly translating to Dragon Ball Z, Son Goku the Super Saiyan.
Oh!
So it's canon. You guys, okay. We did it.
Also known as Sir not appearing in this film.
Lord Slug begins to get big, presumably in the right way.
Oh, it's definitely
there it is, yep.
King Kai informs Goku that Lord Slug is a banished Super Namek.
What?
Okay.
And
do we
probably
have those?
The last of his tribe that was wandering space.
Alright.
They gained access to a higher realm of consciousness.
Yeah, they just got super good at nature.
So
okay,
because a whole village just had an orgy fusion, and I guess
isn't the lore in the Japanese version a little bit different?
Probably.
I don't know. I didn't watch
it. That like he was from Namek, but was raised on Planet Slug.
Oh,
what?
Okay,
that is different.
And is some like different strain of Namekian, I guess, that's like pure evil and can access this ability to be big.
Get big.
Yeah. And he's probably more evil than Demon King Piccolo, since Demon King Piccolo split off from another Namekian.
He's not half a Namekian. He's a whole Namekian, and he's all evil.
Lord Slug is definitely bigger than King Piccolo.
He's got more room for badness inside him.
And this is where King Kai says that even Frieza probably couldn't beat him.
Damn.
Okay,
really?
Okay, I believe you, King Kai.
Bold fucking words, King Kai. Frieza, the guy you specifically told Goku not to fight under any circumstances. All right. Carry on.
The guy who was being bred to be a god of destruction.
Hmm. Goku's shock at seeing this transformation knocks him out of his pseudo-transformation.
Okay.
Oh, he's bad at it.
And now he is chased around the city by a very big Lord Slug.
It's very good.
I know it literally just says, he got big, and it counts.
He got big.
Two separate bullet points.
He's got stretchy arms.
And he uses them.
They play a little bit of peekaboo. Goku runs up his giant arms to shoot at his dang face.
Ah, that's the danger of getting big, is people can shadow with a colossus you.
Do you remember that scene from the fight with Vegeta? Here it is again.
Lord Slug uses his stretchy limbs to catch Goku and begins to crush him.
Oh, yeah. Time for Goku
this.
To unhinge his jaw. Which always happens.
Not as wide as usual, though.
Not really.
As,
no,
as that other time
tame.
Where it was like a 180 degree angle.
Yeah.
This time he just opens his mouth real wide.
One.
Yeah.
Lord Slug throws a little twist on it too by getting his thumb in on Goku's head, kind of like, oh, am I gonna squish ya? Boop. What am I gonna do?
I don't know.
Piccolo comes to the rescue using some well-established Namekian weaknesses against Lord Slug.
That we've known this entire time.
He
grabs the well-known and canonical weak point of Lord Slug's antennae.
It's the downfall of every Namekian. We've seen it countless times.
If you're anything like me, this hurts a lot.
It doesn't even react that much.
Lord Slug is nothing like you, Piccolo.
If you're anything like me, this feels really weird.
It does look cool, him, like, you know, holding him like reins and just
like
riding on his head.
He's yee-hawing the giant Namekian.
Piccolo gets wrapped up in Lord Slug's big old hand. But he begins to chuckle, and then he tears off his own ears.
This is not how ears work.
I don't like
this. This is my favorite part.
Piccolo is stone cold.
Do you not know how the oracles do?
Well, they no longer frame his face.
They don't, and it looks weird. It looks
really
weird.
And to be fair, he is an alien, so maybe ears do work a little different.
Maybe his eardrums are on the outside.
Yeah. I don't want to think about that.
Would that even be the weirdest or most unsettling thing about Namekian anatomy that we've considered on this podcast?
We've already talked about the knee pads.
We don't need to talk about the knees. I just don't. Thank you.
Piccolo shouts out to Gohan to start whistling again.
He doesn't even say that. He just says, do the thing that you were doing earlier.
Yeah, he is trying not to say the word whistle, I guess.
Sure. Whatever. Try to remember, Gohan!
That would alert Lord Slug to his devious plan.
Right.
Like, this is his devious plan that was brought up precisely none times. I'm gonna get caught on purpose, yank off my ears, and tell Gohan to remember!
And yell at a half-dead child.
Yeah. Right, and just really hope he's still conscious.
But Goku has to remember what whistling is.
The whistling in Slug's enormous ears is completely crippling, and it brings the giant to his knees.
Mm. He says,
"This is wild."
He notes that Namekians are sensitive to hearing, and with your massive size, your senses have been amplified, so you've got eardrums the size of trash cans.
Yep, I wrote that down too.
Piccolo reaches out to Goku, choosing for some reason not to use his stretchy arms.
Thank you. Yes.
Probably for dramatic purposes.
He's like, I'm almost there. Oh, if I could just.
And he passes the rest of his energy over.
Yeah.
This is like a weird semi-fusion.
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goku stands ready to take Lord Slug on again. And he powers up to Kaioken and charges at Lord Slug, who sees both him and Piccolo charging at him.
A double attack!
And then Goku uses the Son family headbutt.
Hell yeah.
Yeah!
To go directly through his chest.
Yeah!
I've never seen this story before in my life.
especially not
against a very tried and true method for dispatching an Namekian.
Worked against the last big guy I fought.
Goku flies up to take out the Terra Freezer, but he is caught on the leg by Slug's stretchy arm.
I'm really getting a lot of mileage out of this.
When you say Terra Freezer, I don't know why, but I just imagine, like, Terra from Kingdom Hearts, but possessed by Frieza.
Terra Freezer Nort.
I need fan art of that immediately.
This is a nightmare. This is even worse than what happened to What
He's
the Folklore.
Just doing a pose.
Instead of getting Norted, you got Freezered.
The dark shadows hanging over us.
Goku does reach the sun, though. And begins to fill himself with energy for a spirit bomb.
He's not supposed to reach from the sun, though. King Kai told him not to.
Yeah, that's a bad plan, but he does it.
He does it just a little bit.
Just a little bit. just a little sippy from the sun. Because there's no more life on the earth. He can't do it.
He throws it directly into Lord Slug, who was charging at him. And Lord Slug crashes into his own Terra Freezer and makes a very funny face.
Oh, yep.
R.I.P. He was so young.
The clouds immediately lift off of the Earth, and the planet is saved.
Instantly.
Woo! Hooray!
Like the battle droids in the Phantom Menace. Just gone.
Yep.
Everybody is saved when Yajirobe arrives with beans.
The real hero here.
A bean.
There are two incredible things happen. Goku is on the ground, and I'm just like, Goku, you can't sleep on the job, you're self-employed. And then King...
If you have
King
time
Kai...
to lean, you have time to bean.
Yeah, and then King Kai, muses reflectively to the camera, Goku doesn't have to be the strongest to win. Someone's watching over him. King Kai, what the fuck does that mean?
What does this mean? Yajirobe?
Jesus?
If it was going to be anyone, it would be you.
Is it Gregory?
You pat yourself on the back, bud?
It's probably Gregory, yeah.
Job well done guessing the wrong Super Saiyan today.
But also, he did win because he was stronger.
He did do it.
Yes.
Yeah. That is usually what does it.
Yeah.
And also, like, let's be real.
Goku doesn't have to be the strongest to win. The sun will do it.
Oh yeah, the sun must be who's watching over. But like, this wasn't even like a Goku victory. Like, this was Piccolo's plan.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, I guess.
It's mostly Piccolo's movie.
Pretty much. I do appreciate like, he weakened Lord Slug with the whistling thing, and then he gave Goku the energy, and then he teams up with Goku for the weird double mirage attack.
He fired the Goku gun.
Piccolo regrows his ears, and Gohan makes a bad joke.
Hated that.
Oh, what was the bad joke?
Now he gets the point.
Ah!
Oh, I
get it. We all laugh.
I was wondering why they were laughing about that. Because it's weird.
I was really upset that his ears weren't covered in green slime like his arm.
I know, I was expecting just nasty green gook.
But no, just
less of a slimy part of the body, I guess.
The movie ends with Roshi waking up from his nap, and he does some stretches.
Wishes something interesting would happen.
He's just had a nice nap.
Roshi.
Did anybody catch in the English how he counts? Because I thought it was very funny.
I didn't catch it.
He stretches and he says 1, 2, 5, 30. And then he's done.
I think this confirms something that had been hypothesized previously about how Goku works out.
They're so bad at math in this show.
They don't know what these numbers mean.
It's not even a
reasonable...
And
it all started with Roshi.
Roshi.
And that's the credits.
I like these credits.
I did see something that made me sad that I was watching this movie in this cursed year of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
That the original soundtrack seems to have been a lot different for the English version.
Pretty good.
Yeah. I immediately went to YouTube to catch those tunes and feel like I was in junior high again.
Oh my! Yeah, I didn't even notice this because it was the full. We had the Kikuchi going on in Funimation now, but just as a little taster platter for the folks at home wanting to know what the original English dub soundtrack had, it had Finger 11, Drag You Down, Finger 11, First Time, Dust for Life, Seed, Dust for Life, Dragonfly, American Pearl, Automatic, Dust for Life, Step into the Light, Disturbed, Fear. American Pearl for your mind.
Boy Hits Car,
The Rebirth. Deftones, Elite. Disturbed, Stupefy. Boy Hits Car, I'm a Cloud. Breaking Point, Coming of Age. Tendril, Time to Burn. And Tendril, Sky Strike the Terror Dome.
Just all the new metal hits.
I don't know any of those songs, but it sounds like a completely different movie.
Yeah,
they definitely. The soundtracks were a real treat when the DVDs were first coming out.
Was it very Linkin Parky?
I could not believe Disturbed was in this movie twice, and I didn't notice.
Stupefy is what plays during the Not a Super Saiyan.
Yeah.
Wow.
You can find that clip on YouTube.
The credits theme for Lord Slug in Japanese is Ya na koto niwa genki dama, meaning there's a genki dama in bad things.
What?
There's a genki dama in bad things.
Huh?
Because Goku put it there.
It was a fun. If the subtitles are to be believed, it's like if somebody's bullying you, kick them a bunch. Genki dama. Don't compare yourself to other kids, because that'll make you sad.
Genki Dama.
Genki Dama.
If someone's being mean to you, summon your friends to help you beat them up.
Basically. And
the whistling song has its own wiki page.
Oh. Oh, no.
In Japanese, it is Kuchibue no Kimochi, or the feeling of whistling.
I mean, truth in advertising.
Any other notes for this fine feature film?
I have not been doing the whistle this whole time as much as I wanted to, because I assume Tyler's going to be putting it in the background.
Yeah, it'll be in there.
Oh, yeah.
I do have a joke that we missed that is in the Japanese version. where when the earth first gets cold and they're all the Bulma and Oolong group is being chilly. And Oolong says he's getting Sorry, I think this is when they first see the ship. And Oolong says he's getting goosebumps, and Bulma yells at him and says, "No, you get pig bumps."
Great.
That's her literal science mind.
A plus.
That's not how biology works, Oolong.
I mean, do you expect Oolong to be a reliable source on biology?
Certainly not.
Do you want to talk about why this is exactly the King Piccolo arc?
Oh, yeah. I don't know why it is. Why is it?
Well, it's got the whole old evil Namekian. He wishes for eternal youth. He has minions that aren't Namekians.
I guess we should talk about that, what a demon clan is.
Yeah,
what is that?
So, in the King Piccolo saga, as Matt was saying, a weird, big, wrinkly green man appears in a spaceship, or in a flying ship of some kind, to take the Dragon Balls to wish for eternal youth. And he has minions with him, which are demons, because he calls himself Demon King Piccolo.
Ah, okay.
And he birthed these demons from eggs that he spits out.
This is back when Dragon Ball was magic and demons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And none of these demons look anything like Namekians.
Were they retroactively referred to as Namekians later on?
Yeah, now they're known as like some weird mutated Namekian.
Okay.
Yeah. Because otherwise it doesn't make a ton of sense. I don't know.
By
evil,
demon
I guess.
Energy.
Yeah, so I guess we are to presume that Lord Slug spit all these boys out.
Isn't it called Devil Might or something?
He gave birth to wings, and I thank him for it every day.
They flew too close to the Machio star, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. That's where they came from. That's where this planetoid came from.
That Machio radiation.
Yep. Machio energy.
Also, because this movie came out before Super Saiyan existed, they just made up their own. I assume based on notes that were provided.
Like, we know Super Saiyan's gonna be a thing, but we don't know what it's gonna look like yet, so we're just gonna take a shot at it.
Gonna be like Vegeta and point at whatever and see if that
that's
is
a Super
it.
Saiyan.
Mm-hmm. That's probably a Super Saiyan, maybe.
Close enough for King Kai.
Mm-hmm. So now this does have its own wiki entry as, like, pseudo-Super Saiyan or something.
Pseudo-Saiyan.
Of course it does.
Yeah, there's, like, 80 billion different, like, flavors of Super Saiyan between non-Super Saiyan and Super Saiyan, between Super Saiyan 1 and Super Saiyan 2.
Super Saiyan, but big.
I really need to give...
Power stress.
I really need to give appreciation to what Melissa just said, close enough for King Kai, which is, like, you know, they say close enough for government work, and that's not a compliment. And I think that is so profoundly correct in this situation. I bet the Onis say that in other worlds.
They probably do.
It's close enough for King Kai.
Ugh. That's the lack of guardrails on Snake Way. Mm-hmm. There just wasn't enough funding. Close enough for King Kai, they said. They all went home.
Any other thoughts for this movie?
Now I'm imagining Gaz and Mez just talking shit about King Kai on their breaks.
I have a quick Hail Satan question.
Yeah.
Drop it.
What did Hercule and Videl do on their snow day?
Made a snowman with a big Mr. Satan afro.
Yeah.
And then drew a mustache.
She tried to teach him how to ski.
And Satan
ooh, you
made
could go
a snowman.
Skiing on a tropical
French
island.
Fries.
He does
pizza.
It about as well as he does flying.
Yeah.
Perfectly.
By flapping his arms a bunch.
Springs are involved.
Yeah. Somehow. Where'd you even get them? I don't know.
He's got go-go gadget skis. Jason, I didn't even ask, but do you have a 4-star reading?
Oh, I sure do.
For this movie.
I sure do.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a reading, and it is exactly 4 stars, and the reason why is because it covers our favorite Taurus, Gohan. Gohan with an actual canonical birthday of
King Whistle.
King Whistle May 18th. So as of recording, tomorrow is Gohan's birthday.
Happy birthday, Gohan!
Hey. Wow. We're finally gonna get the Gohan.
I hope he has a good one. What will we get him? Answer books.
Yes.
Well, it depends
on astrology.
If it, yeah, if it's
and a copy of Shonen Jump.
Adult Gohan, yeah, we need like leather bound coffee table book editions of Shonen Jump. But Gohan, this is your reading. You've been intrigued by someone from a different culture for quite a while, and it's time to get to know them better. You can charm them in a way that no one else can. Conversations make the best education, so buckle in and get ready for a long chat. You'll have a lot of questions for them, but they're likely to have just as many questions for you. Keep an open mind, and you'll learn a few things.
Well, there you go.
You'll learn that your best friend can't fucking stand your whistles.
Well, thank you all for listening. I appreciate everyone who tunes into this show whenever it comes out now.
Yeah. Whenevs.
Keeping the feed alive. Yeah. We'll probably be back next month with another movie, if not sooner.
Oh boy.
Yeah, probably. Listen, we do all of tip to toe, all of hit anime Dragon Ball Z.
Mm-hmm.
We can take a little bit of a break on and scoop up some of those archives, boy.
Dave, what would you like the Frans to know?
I don't know, man. I guess, as always, I can be found at PSYTHE Scythe on Archive of Our Own. I certainly try to write
2020 mood. I don't know what.
I certainly try to write fan fiction.
Good enough for Kinkai.
Ouch! I thought this was a friendly podcast.
Matt, how about you?
Tyler, you caught me off guard. So go on, carry on. I'm good.
You can hit me up on all the different social medias, Twitter, Instagram, whatever, under the username DefineProg.
And Aaron?
I don't do much on any social media stuff, and neither does the improv theater where I used to do stuff. But if you feel like it, you can check out DaytonBlackBox.com and look at an improv theater that used to do cool things.
Just kind of stroke the screen and think of better days.
Yeah, I think we've got some things on YouTube.
You know what? This can transition into mine, because if you want to hear more, you can tune in to twitch.tv/jcalves, JAYCALVES, because me and Aaron are playing through Dragon Ball Xenoverse right now.
You're going on an adventure.
Yeah. Oh. I do that with you.
Yeah,
that's a fun thing that happens.
We're playing through as our fan character, a beautiful Saiyan named Bressa, who presently looks as though she's a backup dancer for Lady Gaga's Chromatica.
Yes.
She rules, and her fashion is great.
Hit us with that fashion.
It's amazing fashion. Okay, so so the top is like childhood Chi-Chi top, so it's like the metal bra with like the shoulder pads and the cape. Very strong look on an adult woman, which
questionable for a child. Great on Brussa.
Fantastic on Brussa.
I see.
And the pants are King Kai's pants, which in this case means they're Goku pants with the level of poofiness and taper, but they are pink instead of orange with white shoes and gloves and a purple scarf.
Good look.
I love it. I'm probably going to keep it till the end of the game.
Nice.
But yeah. Jcabs is also where you can find me on any kind of social media. Twitter, Instagram, Zanga, maybe. I don't know.
Trillion.
And Melissa.
Hey, that's me. Mostly doing stuff on Twitter and Instagram at Kristaya, KRISTAIA. Yeah.
You can follow this show on Twitter at Destructo_Disc, DISC. Pinned there is an invitation to our fan Discord. And we also accept emails to destructodiscourse@gmail.com. And if you would like others to find out about this show, even though it has concluded, you can leave a rating and a review on your podcast service of choice and make it a 4-star rating. For Gohan.
For the Gohan.
And the hat that he lost.
And yeah. The hat that he is very bad at keeping hold of. Give us the Gohan.
Give us the Gohan.
I don't know what to say at the end anymore, because we already warmed up.
We powered all the way up and we did it. We won.
And it's time for a nap. This has been Destructo Discourse. Go eat your beans.
And scene.
Good enough for Kinkai.